Welcome this morning. My name's Jeremy. We're in church here with Sue and Hilton and Michelle. Michelle's not well this morning, so we need to remember her. Today, I'm going to speak for a little while. So first of all, it's me, and then it's going to be Mai, who's going to talk and give her story. So the idea is we keep what I say very short and leave a lot of time to hear the wonderful Mai. I just thought it was quite funny. It was me and Mai. So great. I need some people to read Bibles for me. So could you look at Galatians 3? And Hilton, if you could look at Galatians 4. And so you can do verse 23 to chapter 4, and Hilton from 4 to 7.
Was it 3, 23
to
24?
Not chapter, 3. 3, 23 to the end of the... So, a lot of Bible this morning, but it's good, isn't it?
Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come. We are no longer under the supervision of the law.
To the end of the chapter.
You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those
for... Chapter 4, verse 1.
Oh, sorry, 4 to 7. Sorry, my apologies. 1 to 7. My apologies. Funny enough. My point is this. This is verse 1. So 1 to 7.
Yes, please.
Okay, sorry. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world.
Minors means children.
Yeah.
Right, because that's an unusual word.
Yeah. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God.
Thank you, Hilton. Thank you, Sue. So... today, our talk is, my title for the talk is Different Starting Points, but One Ultimate Destination, a Family, Jesus' Family. A lot about family this morning. So God the Father, his heart is to see people from different backgrounds gather together with him so that he might have an intimate relationship with him. And he doesn't see social, political, or gender differences. His love for people is because he loves people. Mm-hmm. He values people, all people, equally loved, equally valued. And Paul's account that we've just read tells us of the story of God's, the Father's, redeeming nature. His desire to bring, to redeeming, I mean, from bringing from one place to another. So his desire is to see people come out of slavery into a place of freedom. So in the account we've just read, it details two starting points leading to one destination. The point is, from this, is it doesn't matter where you start from, your background, your family history, your culture, where you were born. If you know Jesus and you follow him, you are part of him and he is part of you. You become, like Lily is, part of his family. Mm-hmm. Become part of his family. And you have all the legal status and access to all the family benefits. You become part of the people called to be his people. So, just to unpack a little bit of the two points that Paul uses to illustrate this. The first starting point for Paul is in the Old Testament. And he talks about the Father God promising Abraham to make him a great nation and bless him, bless all the nations through him. It tells us how the people of Israel, who were God's chosen people, were brought out of slavery in Egypt, where they were being used to build lots of pyramids and all sorts of work for the Egyptians, out of slavery, out of oppression, and released into an inheritance and a freedom. So when God brought his people out of Egypt, he said, there's an account in Exodus about bringing these people out of Egypt. And just before he says it, God says to them, you need to put the blood of a lamb on your doorposts, because I'm going to send a death across this land to set you free. And this death will affect the firstborn children. But if you've got the lamb's blood on the doorposts, you'll not be touched by this. And a result of that, putting the lamb's blood across the doorpost, the people of Israel were able to leave the land of Egypt, where they were being oppressed and subject to slavery, and take them into a place that he was giving to them, a place that described as milk and honey and a great land of freedom. The people of Israel were then given what we hear is the law to help guide them to know God. So this is when a guy called Moses went up the mountain and he received the law, which helped them to know God even more. So that was the first place, and that's a very potted history of how God released a people from slavery and oppression into a new freedom. And the second starting point that Paul talks about in the book we've just read is from a non-Jewish point, a non-Israeli point of view. And that tells us that Jesus does the same for us now, because he died on a cross and his blood was shed, was sacrificed, so that we could be set free from slavery, from oppression, into a freedom. So the fact that they use blood, you can see that Jesus' blood was shed on a cross for us, and that's painted over our lives so that we can move from this slavery into freedom. Paul tells us if we have faith in Christ Jesus, we belong to him. And as I say, it's like putting the blood of Jesus over our lives. And Jesus is often described as a lamb. So in both pictures, there is a move from the things that defined us into a new freedom. The Old Testament gives us a very vivid picture of being enslaved. But today, we can be slave to many things. We can equally be dramatically set free. So it doesn't matter where you start from your ethnic or cultural background, your experience, your work, when you're in Christ, you become a valued part of the family. The badge of God's free people is he trusts them with responsibility. So when you're set free, you become you take on responsibility. No longer needing a guardian. So that's when Hilton read that passage you're talking about minors and children being guided. You know, can you imagine if we were like children, we were being guided towards a adulthood? So when we become Christians, we leave our guided path and become into the freedom of who Jesus is. We no longer need a babysitter, somebody telling us what to do, because the Bible tells us, he gives us our family values. So the Old Testament gave us some rules and regulations, but now we are free and we're redeemed, as we sing about. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Paul means it's more than simply an inner spiritual experience. But for Paul, it's about belonging to a particular community. You belong to God's gathered people when you start to follow Jesus. You become part of God's community, his family. And the Bible symbolises that we belong to the family through baptism and water. When we follow Jesus, symbolised through baptism, it means that the old distinction have ceased to have any relevance in terms of our family status. Of course, we still have our identity and our skills. I was chatting with Ryan, you know, she's great at certain things and other people are better. Peter's good at some things. We don't lose our identity, but we belong to Christ. Our skills and our don't form the basis of our standing in the family of God, though, because we're all equally valued. Paul tells us we are one belonging to Christ, and the Old Testament promises of Abraham now belong to us. So we're no longer socially divided. We have here no greater value, no lesser value. We may perform different roles, but we are equally valued, equally part of this family. This means how we live as a family is very important. If we're grown up, you know, the Bible talks about being grown up, getting and being set into freedom, you and we no longer require people telling us what to do, but our actions reflect the family values. Our heart and our desires and how we act are guided by our family values. We find our family values, as I said, in the Bible. So I want, I now want to do what Jesus speaks about, because I know I'm part of the family and I know how much he loves me. It's not legalism, but it's out of love for who Jesus is for me. So my, come here, come and talk to us. We had a chat, I sent, which, she's going to put that, what I've just said, into everyday terms in real life, won't you? Yeah, great. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Good morning again, everyone. My name's Mike, in case of no one knows. Okay, my background is I was born in the northern of Thailand named Payao. It's like just a small city. I got a bachelor and a master degree in Thailand, and now I'm a second year PhD student doing marketing at Durham University. Hopefully I can finish within 2 years. Oh no, 3 years. And actually my family, like, they are the Buddhists. They believe in reincarnation. It means that they also strongly believe that what they become today is come from what they did in the past life. Like reborn again, again, and again. No one in my family is a Christian at all. However, me becoming the first Christian in my family is not a problem. Because I think he saw me like have a better life, have a good manner, have a good better way to talk and to approach people in a better way every day. I become a Christian for 19 years. It's such a long time. Because I born in the Buddhism and now you don't have to know how age I am, how old. 19, okay, I will live in 19 years. That's what you have to know. I become a Christian when I finish my last year of my bachelor degree. My friends invite me to his church. I remember that it's on Valentine's Day, and what I thought is, oh, it's like a pink balloon chocolate. But actually, the first is nothing. It just, everyone worship God. And it's quite different from the church that I went when I was in the school. Because they praise God like a rock concert, you know. Everyone like, Dan, Chow, and then, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like you were in the pub. And I think, whoa. I feel like, oh, it's so weird that they express the love to someone that they haven't seen before. Yeah, and that was the first time that I went to declare that I accept God in my life. Even though I don't know like much about who God is. When you are part of the church community, they will treat you like their own family. We have the same dad. We adopt the Christ DNA. Mm-hmm. So everyone in the world who believe in Christ is just our family. Church has a mentor to take care of you, encourage you to pray. Pray seriously in everything. The first time that someone come to talk with me about pray to God, I don't know how to pray. And he told me, like, you pray to God like you talk with your dad. You can ask everything, like, oh, today I don't want to see someone, or I don't, like, just stop the rain. I want to eat like mango. And you know, it's just like a honeymoon moment with God that you can pray everything and he answer you like everything that you ask for. So it's just wonderful. They teach me the Bible and we do many activities to spread the word of God. And when I moved to Bangkok to do my master's degree, I know one pastor who lives the same of my village. He has a wonderful family, and he treats me like he's their own family. They invite me to have dinner and spend time with me, taught me a Bible. He never know like who I am and then what I have and what skill I have. He doesn't care. He was a pastor that have like more than 300 members at church. Actually, he didn't have to spend time with me or take care of me. But however, he told me that leaders should serve people equally, as same as the Jesus did. Furthermore, I feel that being a part of Christ provides you a ton of connection in the real world. You have to put a lot of effort to get the good connection. And it takes time to be somebody, to be accepted from social, or to get the promotion. It takes time to gain trust and costly to be accepted from people. However, in God, He values everyone equally, mm-hmm. like daddy loves their children. Mm-hmm. He loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, or what you have. It doesn't depend on your family background or your financial or education. God values us all equally. How God values me changed my life. I feel that I don't have to put effort or have high ambitions to get acceptance and to be loved. And I never walk alone anymore. Wherever that I go, I just see Christ. I just see church community which have the same DNA of me, Christ's DNA. I was assigned to start the youth ministry that we start from 10 to 12 teenagers. We went to their house to arrange the worship, play game with them, hang out with them. And until now, the ministry is growing up. I think now they have more than 50 teenagers. The pastor assigned me he used me to, like, I'm nothing. I have no skill, no competency to do it, because at that time I still like teenager. But I feel like, oh, he valued me, even though I have nothing. Like, I come to the England to see the Ram Community Church. That made me feel like, your guys made me feel like I'm the long lost sister and daughter. Like, how many people in the world that are always welcome you and willing you to get into their house, provide a wonderful food, like a yummy dessert, make you a cup of tea. And still, after you like, oh, enjoy eating, and you left, they clean for you. They wash your dish. How many people can do the good thing, the wonderful thing like this for you? Yeah. It's such a great experience to be a part of the church family, to be a part of the family that we have the same Father, the same God. I made many decisions in my life. Sometimes I made a wrong decision and sometimes the right. However, decided to become a part of Christian family is my right decision and have a lot of impact of my life forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Molly. So we want to finish there just to say that was great, wasn't it? It really made unpacked what we talked about before, made it really real for us. Just to say, it doesn't matter where we start, set out from. Your history, what matters is the destination. When we follow Jesus, we become part of his family. Our past doesn't define us. Being in Christ and being part of the family defines who we are, equally loved and equally valued by God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Mai's experience. Lord, coming from a different background, finding you and being valued by you.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you that you love the world, that your heart is for nations and people around the world to be drawn into your family. Thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that we can be part of that family. And just simply by turning from what we were doing before and asking you and following you, Lord, we want to pray that you would make you the person, the God that we follow. Help us to do that, Lord. And Lord, for those that don't maybe feel they're following you, Lord, I pray that to this morning to make a decision just to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Help me to do that, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for food now that we have. Pray you bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you've heard what we've talked about, have a chat with Mai. If you think, am I following Jesus? Talk with any of these guys. We would love to explore that further with you. Yeah. Thank you. Lunchtime.
Thank you.